From Attila's Multimedia in Courtney, BC, you're listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm chef and host Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host Darren Howlett. We would like to thank you again for joining us as we explore the food culture of the Comox Valley and beyond.
I'd like to thank all our listeners for joining in and tuning in to listen to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. Tonight we're doing talking about a little bit of an event that I am getting involved with.
Right. Yeah, we've talked about this now on a couple of different episodes or alluded to it, kind of built towards it.
And I thought this time we'd actually sit down and totally talk about this whole event. And truthfully, I'm getting a little bit nervous about this because we're about a week away.
Right.
And we're going to do a real quick turnaround because we're interviewing on the Monday.
Right.
And we're going to post this tonight.
Okay. Well, I guess first off, we should go around the room and talk about everybody that's here. Joining us tonight is Connie Earle from, you would remember her from previous episodes, 76. Connie comes to us from the Atlas Cafe, and Don Posnikoff, West Coast Gourmet. You would remember her from, we had her on a little while back on, I think it's episode 116, when we were talking about West Coast Gourmet. And so everybody here now is involved in the behind the scenes and organization of the upcoming event, the Sunset in the Streets. Let's get into it. What can you tell us about it now, John, that you couldn't tell us before?
Well, it's happening. It's happening this Sunday. Let's get this straight out. Thank you for joining us.
It's great to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I really say this is your doing, Dawn. You kind of took this one by the lead and got this all organized
and going.
Well,
it wasn't exactly my doing so much as being coerced slightly.
Okay.
But the Valley is such a great place to have events like this, and there's such great support. So after the Shellfish Festival,
right.
I was involved with the 40 Knots event with the Chef's Showdown there.
Right.
And I think it was after that I met up with Jenny and Haley from the Downtown Business Association, the Courtney Business Group. And they said, you know, we've been talking about doing this long table dinner for years now, and we've really never figured it out, and we just need someone to help us organize and bring all the pieces together. Do you want to help? And I went, sure, sounds easy. You know, it's just make a few phone calls, sign a few pieces of paper. So that's kind of where the idea came from. And then since then, of course, because the Downtown Group is so great and wants to do fun events and wants to bring people into the downtown Courtney area, everybody's just been really on board. We've got support from obviously Atlas Cafe, from some of the local, from the Gladstone Brewery, from some of the other suppliers from a beverage perspective. We've got the Wildflower Mercantile. Mm-hmm. Is going to be helping out. Relay Event Rentals is helping out. So just everybody's jumping on board. But most exciting is we're doing it as a charitable event. So anything that is over and above cost is going to be going to Lush. So they're going to be speaking at the event for 5 or 10 minutes and giving everyone an idea of what Lush is and how it helps out in the Valley. So you could probably even tell me a little bit. I think you've worked with them before.
I've worked with them a little bit, and we've done a couple episodes with Lush over the thing. They have lots of programs, and they really want to just promote cooking and food and knowing where your food comes from. There's, you know, a lot of food security.
Right.
I'm trying to think of what they have, like the downtown community garden is something they've worked with.
Well,
in
these days, the fruit picking program is huge.
And the fruit picking program, especially at this time of year,
is
a big one. So just getting out there and collecting fruit from all over to donate to different areas. So it doesn't go to waste, and which is kind of a really interesting opportunity and something that they're really gung-ho on. So it's great to have that. And I've seen a lot of programs with them teaching kids how to use cook with food or understand food or be around food, which
they do a lot of pickling and preserving classes and that type of thing just to help people extend the season.
So it's a great organization, I think, and it's nice to sort of have a meal to celebrate what they're trying to promote and what they're trying to do. So
long tables, there's a ton of long table dinners lately. Over the past few years, it's really taken off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it started in a movie. I read the other day that it was inspired by some 1995 movie or something.
But dinners have been happening for years, and it's
and
just
farm
that,
to table and the whole concept of just gathering, you know, at one long table and having conversation and getting to know and having conversations with people that have common interests without being sort of in a restaurant setting is just a lot of fun. So
and So how did, Connie, how did you get involved then? Or at what point did you get brought
into the mix? I think this may be partly my fault.
Well, she volunteered, of course.
Yes, of course. Well, John and I have worked together on events in the past.
I don't like doing events without Connie. I have to admit it. She just knows
I can
those little
that.
Things, and she knows how to read me, and she knows to put me in the right direction, and her eye to detail is amazing. So I just, to have someone like that beside me, it's just always makes life easier for me. So thank you, Connie.
Well, thanks for the vote of confidence. And I am really excited, just with how busy the restaurant is. I think John hasn't had an opportunity to do this kind of thing in a while. Mm-hmm. And as much as, I think he just really shines at this kind of thing. So when he asked me, I was just excited as much about how excited he was about his menu and having, that creative outlet and having something fun to do. And I have to say the Lush Valley aspect is a huge pull for me too, because, well, food security in general, and especially in light of all of the crazy weather fluctuations we've been having, and the fact that we have an amazing community of local producers and growers and people who are conscious of the need for that. And I think that we just need to keep building on that and highlighting it within the community as much as possible.
Right.
So that's one part. And then also just for me, food and wine is my passion. So to be able to go out and go to the vineyards, go to Wayward and taste the products and figure out, what's the acidity, the creamy, the this, the that, kind of knowing John's cooking a little bit and fleshing out those ideas with him before I went to taste the products gave me a better idea of how to approach, the pairings. Mm-hmm. And
'cause you've gone to every one. You've gone and compared all their wines and really put it's amazing the amount of effort you put into this.
All of their wines.
I actually took my son and his friend to Beaufort and 40 Knots one day. We did a little tour. 40 Knots has a little entomology circuit for kids where it's like a little scavenger hunt kind of thing. And then they got a little button for completing it at the end. And then Beaufort, I brought a picnic for them. They had a picnic at the table and then went frog hunting in the pond afterwards. So, they had a blast at both places and I got to taste all the products and chat with, the owners and the tasting crew there at Beaufort are amazing. So two products in particular that I just want to quickly mention that I'm super excited about.
Oh, for sure.
Beaufort has just bottled a Vintner's Ortega, and they are very well known in the valley for their Ortega, and they have done a little spin on it. They've put oak on it. So this first release is 2 months in oak, and then they have a second release coming down the line that's 6 months in oak. And it's just a beautiful product, and I think it's going to be amazing with your salmon course, with the squash gnocchi and beurre noisette. It's going to pick up all of the great nuances of that. And we are actually featuring it the day before they release it. So it's being released September 18th. People can have a sneak preview on the 17th.
So if you want to be the first.
Yeah. And so it's a limited production thing and just a product that I'm really excited to showcase because it's so fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to try the 6 month version as well. And then from Wayward, we're featuring with the dessert course their Drunken Hive Rum, which they've just finished, well, they maybe not just finished, September, their third batch ever. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it in the smaller bottles like the Krupnik and
The Depth Charge.
The Depth Charge, thank you. Mm-hmm. And so, again, it's a product that's really not out there in the community so much yet that Dave is super excited about. And so his excitement then passes on to me, and I become excited to showcase it to the community. So two kind of extra new fun products for people to sample.
While you're on the topic or touching on, can you go into the menu a little bit more? Anybody that's not specific to anybody?
You know what? I think we should spill the beans because I think this is a bit of a, you know, you're going to have to sit down and listen to this whole podcast to actually find out what the menu's going to be. So
right.
If you want to, do. If not, I'm just letting out spoiler alert right now.
Right.
No, I think we should, but I'd also like, I know Jonathan has a little bit of a story with how he came up with some of the courses and how they relate to downtown. So maybe if you can explain a bit of that.
Well, of course, and I'll definitely pair that with us. So I always want to start off with like the old amuse-bouche, you know, that little bite at the beginning. And I thought, you know, growing up in this community and the ocean and stuff like that, and how much shellfish is a major part of it, that we have to start with an oyster.
Right.
And just to have that oyster on ice and just a nice cucumber mignonette. And then, of course, Connie was doing a nice little gin, is it?
Yeah, yes. Wayward gin.
A little gin taster to go along the side of that.
Is it a cocktail or is it just a gin taster?
It is. I could almost call it a mini martini. Like, oh, yeah. It. My idea for both of the... both of the Wayward products is I wanted to put just a little something in there as a bridge to the food. So the product in itself is so beautiful, but to just have a little hint of flavor, a little hint of something that ties it into the dish that it's being paired with a little bit. So it is predominantly going to be the spirit with, again, and I'm not going to reveal. That'll be a little the secret.
You have to have some surprises.
But, I mean, obviously, you know, oyster, cucumber, gin. You can imagine what that might.
Right.
And then for the dessert, the same thing. Just a little hint of something to tie it into the flavors of the food.
Nice. Yeah. And I think that's really interesting because a lot of people have asked, well, is it just wine or, you know, what else is going to be there? So I really like that we have a variety and it appeals to different tastes, but it also pairs really well with the food that John's put together. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really key.
So I'm going to do platters for four. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be, I'm looking at doing a salad. And so with some baked brie. And of course we'll use natural pastures, of course, but you know, definitely the downtown is always known for its dairy production. The Comox Valley is always known for a lot of cheeses, a lot of dairy, a lot of milk products. So I thought I'd just incorporate that in there.
That's the starter?
This is going to be our first course. Right. Yes. So it's going to come out. And then I was thinking, of course, I want to make sure I got everyone's name here. we got like Clever Crow is donating some greens and stuff like that. And we're going to do a mile of flower salad underneath there. So I always think of the coming to the downtown, you have the mile of flower. So this will be the sort of presentation of coming into the dinner is this mile of flowers. And then I talked with at Cake Bread there with Ian, who we just had on the podcast. And we were going to go with a baguette. And then he's like, okay, well, I like your baguette, but I'm not baking on Sunday. He's like, so I'd like something a little heartier. And he's like, what do you think about cornbread? And I was like, cornbread kind of. He's like, well, let me just make a loaf for you and try it out. Anyway, so he's got this chipotle cornbread that's very nice.
Right.
So we're going to melt the brie on top of that and just do a nice little, just with the salad. So I think you get that nice creaminess and the corn and definitely, you know, the farmlands around here surrounding this whole valley.
So with it seems that you're trying to take in and reflect everything that's going on in and around the valley with this.
That's my goal.
Interesting. Okay.
That's sorry to interrupt. So yeah, and then we're preparing that with the Gladstone's, Belgian single, which I kind of like that cause it's that community. And I think there is a community about having a beer and sharing it with friends. And definitely when you go to the breweries around nowadays, you know, that's kind of the thing, the social atmosphere of that. So I thought these kind of pair on a couple avenues. Next, a second course, we're going to do a chilled tomato soup. And myself and Connie kind of argued about this one a little bit, about the gazpacho sort of soup and wanting, and I want it to be very thin and very light with a nice, beautiful tomato. And because tomatoes are at their ripest right now, like this is time for some great tomatoes. So I just thought of pairing that and then thinking about the old orchard and then looking out my backyard and seeing this beautiful hazelnut tree. I thought, why don't we pair this with a hazelnut pesto? Because I think this would be a beautiful combination. And then I thought that just a little bit of microgreens might be wonderful to go along with from Eat More. So I've got a little bit of connections. Definitely I've got some hazelnut oil that I really want to feature from Happy Creek Farms. You know, so it's a lot of pulling from all these places around us to create this whole meal. Now, you pairing this with a 40 Knots.
The rosé from 40 Knots, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be just amazing. You know, there's something about hazelnuts have a slight raspberry quality to me. Like, there is definitely something that a little lilting, fruity note to a hazelnut. Mm-hmm. And the rosé, I think, has just enough of that fruitiness along with the acidity to pair with the, you know, to balance with the tomato. And I think it's just going to be a gorgeous pairing.
I hope so. You know so.
You know so, Johnny.
Shouldn't say I hope. I'm not worried about this at all. I usually know when Connie's got a wine, she's like this. I'm like, you do your magic. So then I thought about the main course. And I sort of looked at the downtown, and the Puntlet River runs right down it. And I think if anyone who's enjoyed a full summer here has definitely done a tubing run over the years.
Right.
And I think just that, and I was thinking about the salmon in there. And yeah. Then
I think everybody's thinking about salmon right now.
Right now, and they're starting to come back. And so I thought, let's do some wild coho salmon. And
now, didn't you originally think of sockeye, but it wasn't native to the river?
Well, and I'm a big sockeye fan because I really like sockeye. But then I was thinking about fishes that are in there, and you know.
Yeah, and I love that. I love that you changed it to
so
be
I kind of changed
local.
It up just to get that one, to get the coho. And then of course we're looking at I'm looking for some butternut squash. It's a bit early in the season to be doing it, but I'm kind of thinking of doing that gnocchi with a nice roasted butternut squash in there. And this dish is going to change a little bit because I really wanted to use watercress and it's bolting right now. So I'm like, and the flea beetles have hit it a bit. So it's not going to be at the freshest that I actually had this week that had some beautiful watercress that was amazing. So that's going to tweak out a little bit by the time we hit Sunday. I might find another batch of really nice watercress, but we'll go with that for now.
Some kind of greens.
Some kind of greens. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just pairing that with the salmon, the earthiness, and then definitely that focus of the downtown area and the river. And that leads us... that was your Ortega, which we've already talked about. That oakiness to go with the squash, I think, is going to be really nice. So. Mm-hmm.
And the beurre noisette as well.
Yeah, sorry, I skipped over that. Just that, I like that nutty, and I kind of thought that would pair nice as sort of transitioning from this nice hazelnut into this nice nutty butter sauce. So, and then I guess I should go on to dessert. And this is kind of fun because I think this is Lush Valley's sort of thing is doing an apple berry tart. And I think it's going to be an apple blueberry. And just because Lush Valley's collecting that fruit out there. So right. I want to get a hold of some of those apples.
That's great.
And do like a nice rustic little tart. And then I'm going to brulee a meringue. And I just, because I was sitting there downtown, I was actually walking the street and checking out. And I look up and, of course, there's our beautiful glacier over top of us looking down. And I thought, this is perfect because, you know, like this should be the dessert is this beautiful glacier. And you've got this beautiful meringue, like a big mountain in front of you. And then I thought, just to be a little bit different, and I was lucky with Clever Crow had some, but the spruce tip sorbet.
Oh, wow.
Which I kind of think would be really nice to have that forest flavor in there, you know, that walking through the forest. And that even though we're downtown, it's only a few minutes to a beautiful forest not that far away from us. So, and that will be with our final taster, which we've already talked about.
Yeah, it's going to be great with the rum.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so many great people that are...
That's a fantastic menu.
...donating stuff and helping out and that I've been researching from. So, I mean, you've got Merville Organics, Eat More Sprouts, Clever Crow. We're going to be using local eggs from Mountain View. I got Hollywood Oysters. I think are hopefully getting some oysters. We'll see what happens with the waters right now. Cake Bread's in there. I have the Mustard Lady, who we're setting up right across from her shop. So that's going to be fun. Bates Beach with the tomatoes. And so, yeah, and I imagine I'm going to add a couple other people by the end of it because I think you have
half the farmer's market.
I'm figuring on heading down to the farmer's market and trying to catch those last people.
Well, that's really awesome. Great. So really utilizing all the local foods as best as possible to, and in a menu that's going to reflect the local area. That's great. So how do people get there? Like, how do people get tickets? How do they get involved?
Well, just
involved?
To give you details, first of all, it's on Sunday night, so September 17th, 5 o'clock start. But because it is an open seating, if people come a little bit early, put their coats on the chairs and go for a wander, then that would be, that'd probably be a good idea.
Right.
The tickets, the easiest place to say on here would probably be go to the website westcoast-gourmet.com under events. Or else if you follow Atlas or follow West Coast Gourmet on Facebook, there's links and there's the events set up. I know the Downtown Business Association and Design Therapy both have all reposted. And so we're definitely on social media and again on the website as well.
Right.
So tickets should be, tickets are $100. Mm-hmm. And that is, like I say, that includes all of the beverage pairings and the charitable donations to Lush with anything that we can.
And when you think about it, it is a great deal.
And with all of the donations that we're getting from the suppliers, we really hope that that we can help Lush out with that. So
and
that's great.
As of this taping, there's still a handful of tickets left.
Apparently. Yep. We've sold we're down to about 20% left. So, you know, there's not a lot of room given. I know everyone likes to wait till last minute, but I wouldn't wait too long before you grab your tickets.
Right.
And it's going to be looks like it's going to be on Duncan between 5th and 6th. So there's a little bit of a slope there. But that's just such a great, vibrant street to have things on without shutting down Fifth altogether.
Well, I like it in the aspect because we're going to be using Atlas Kitchen for a lot of it. So we're going to be cooking the food at Atlas.
Yeah.
Right. But then we're going to be running it up the street.
Well, not exactly plate by plate.
Exactly. But then we have a plating station at the top. So then we'll be doing all the plating and presentation on the street. So the ovens are down below, but everything's going to be presented right there on the street. So that could lend some hiccups. And I know we've got a good crew eager to be a part of it. So it should go smooth. I'm crossing my fingers.
Just wear your flat shoes.
Yeah, this is where I'm sort of... This is where my anxiety is building about the whole thing. And I'm kind of going through everything in my head. I'm like, okay, so we have this. I need this at this time. And just that back and forth.
Oh, that's all good.
But as you know, John, the reason why it turns out so great is because you worry ahead of time.
Yeah, I've got all the worries. This is what I do every time I do an event. I'm always stressed out. And then by the end of the event, I'm like, oh, that was so much fun.
So smooth. Oh, it was so easy.
Yeah.
So, and may I ask to that? So this event, is this just a one-off fun event that you've all come together to put on? Or is this...
This one is a one-off fun event, but it's really generated a lot of interest in the community.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there are a lot of great chefs, not to knock John, but I mean, outside of that, there's a lot of talent in the Valley and a lot of chefs that are busy during the summer and do some events around Christmas. But, you know, I met with Maxine Montgomery at the airport and I was saying, you know, if we had an airport hangar in November, you know, there's some really neat venues that we could use and have one every couple months or something, but we'll just have to see how the interest is and how things go forward. But I think there's certainly some options to
room
do
for some more
forward.
So you're going to be promoting a few other dinners around.
I think so. Yeah, we'll see how anxious you are for the next one. Right. And Connie wants to help with all the details and what kind of team we have. But you know, we could do different formats too. So you know, there's been some comments about the price tag for this one. So we could do maybe a lower price and do more of a cash bar thing to allow other people to get involved. So just kind of see what demand there is.
We also talked about when we first, the original plan was it to have a chef from each one of the restaurants downtown to do a dish, which I really like that idea.
Yeah.
And then it became that whole, you know, getting permits and getting permission and health and all that. And then it was kind of like it really, we only had 2 months to put this together, which is...
Did we have that long?
I'm going to say 2 months, but I didn't do anything for the first 2 weeks, really, other than try to talk to a couple people. But so this has kind of come together quite quick. And when you think about everyone who's involved in this has got another job and doing other things, that this is kind of
a
sideball.
Well, if we can make it turnkey so that, you know, now that you have the process, it's just...
Well, and you had a lot of things set up from that last event you did, which made this a lot easier. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You had the health permit all ready to go and sent it in. And
yeah,
like,
they're easy.
Wow, that was the quickest I've ever seen one of those done.
Yeah.
So
no, it's good.
Great.
But thanks for having me and having us here and talking about the event. And
I think everybody's getting a little excited about it. I know John is.
Definitely.
So
I'm not going to sleep for the rest of the week. I'll be like just in this dream of plating food and organizing things. So,
well, fantastic. Well, and thanks everybody for joining us. Thanks, Dawn and Connie.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we should say if people want to get in contact with you, Dawn, the best way is through.
You know, probably I'll just. I'm just trying to think the easiest way to get a hold of me. Mm-hmm. Probably my email.
Right.
Is Posnikoff D, but that's a hard one.
Right.
Do you really want me to spell that out on?
Postnikoff.
D@gmail.com.
Okay.
But again, if you go to the website, all my contact information is there, and that's probably the easiest website or Facebook or Twitter.
Right.
And that's West Coast Gourmet.
West Coast Dash Gourmet, yep.
Yeah, West Coast Dash Gourmet. And Connie, of course, they can always find you at the Atlas Cafe, where you're always making wine suggestions and...
Yeah, secret out for wine suggestions. Yeah.
And making the service go smooth there every night, so...
Yes, it's still fun after all these years.
All these years.
For sure. Yeah, and I don't know, can I take this opportunity to thank our sponsors?
Yes, let's do that.
All right. We want to thank Atlas Cafe for their continued support in keeping our show going, as well as West Coast Gourmet. Dawn's been fantastic at helping promote us whenever she gets a chance. We have the Butcher's Block in downtown Courtney and Ivan's Truffles. Almost forgetting somebody, Kirsten Wood Music and Matilla's
multimedia.
I'm sorry, James. thanks everybody for all of your help and helping keep the show going.
And we'd like to thank our listeners for tuning in and listening to this episode of the Edible Valley podcast. Of course, you can follow us with everything we're doing with Twitter at the Edible Valley. Email us if you have any questions, suggestions, or you'd like to give us a review on how we're doing, definitely at the edible valley@gmail.com. And definitely check out the podcast. We'd love to hear reviews, whether you're listening to us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitchers, or even at our own site, our host site, Podbean. We'd definitely love to hear back from you, and your comments help us promote this podcast. And I guess the last thing we'd just like to say is thank you for listening to the Edible Valley podcast.